Welcome aboard. It's hour number two. That's right. We have, matter of fact, another 90 minutes of program here. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, co-host of the program and also the producer. And we've got our lines open right now for questions. 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. Questions? What kind of questions? Well, the questions you might ask about your computer, about your cell phone, about any kind of device that you've got. You need some help? We've got some people here to help you. Thank you once again for tuning into the program. Foster Brown here, Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Cal Carson all set to answer your questions. And how do you get your questions to us? Very simply, by calling us at 800-859-0957. And we'll be starting to take those calls in a little bit. Before we do that, however, you may have gotten surprised, as I did a little earlier this week, by an alert that showed up on my phone that, gee, I didn't think I had signed up for. Suddenly, my phone was going off at about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. And it may have happened to you. Gary, I don't know if it happened to you as well.
It did not. I'm not in the flood zone area, apparently. But
yeah,
that's what it was about, right?
That was about. And it was something that I have learned is called a WEA, or a wireless emergency alert. With us right now, we have First Lieutenant Mike Shaw. He's with the Michigan State Police, and he's a public information officer for them. And we brought him on to help us, if we can, to understand these broadcasts. And also an act that just came out. The state of Michigan voted in Public Threat Alert System Act of 2016. And Lieutenant, thank you for joining us here on the Internet Advisor.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, all right, let's start with some basic questions. We got this call that came to us. I've had Amber Alerts come through before. First of all, can you give us an idea of what these wireless emergency alerts are? Who gets them and how do they get to us?
Well, they're basically done by the federal government. They're on everybody's cell phone carrier. They're a service provided by cell phone carriers. You're automatically included. But if you go onto your cell phone, there are ways that you can opt out of these systems. Naturally, we recommend that you don't because they're very helpful. They're usually done by location. So basically, it depends on where your cell phone is pinging and what tower off. So as you were talking to your co-host there, you may have been in the flood area, and that's where your cell phone was pinging on, and he was not, so he didn't get it.
Right. So I was in Oakland County, and there were alerts in Oakland County for flooding. And Gary,
I was in
Ann
Arbor.
You're in Washington, right?
It was raining, but we didn't have the flooding that you did in Oakland County.
Well, you know, and I was at the General Motors Warren Tech Center, which flooded a couple of years ago, and I'm like, oh, no, not again. But it survived.
But what's really weird is I have Verizon phone and AT&T phone, and my AT&T phone was yelling like heck about the flood coming, but my Verizon phone never said a word.
Isn't
That's because your Verizon was probably roaming over to Canada again.
So these are, and you know, there was a story that came out a couple of weeks ago about a suspect in a bombing in New York, and an alert had been sent out. Was that under that kind of WEA, that wireless emergency alert?
I'm not exactly sure how New York does their public threat alert system, but probably so. Most of the state law enforcement and local law enforcement, if they request it through their state governments, that's how these systems get out, is through these wireless alerts. Weather, Amber Alerts, as you mentioned, is one of the big ones that we see most often. And then some states have brought on this public alert systems now, Michigan being one of them just back on the 22nd.
Yeah, now
that's such a great idea, right? I've actually been in a restaurant when the Amber Alert went off. And, you know, I'm reaching for my phone to see what's going on as everybody else in the in the restaurant was doing the same thing.
Exactly. Now,
but
what's different
but
about
this is really important.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's an emergency.
What's different about our Public Threat Alert System Act that just came out?
Well, what this system is for is it's for a specific or identical threat that exists that's not a natural disaster.
Okay.
That the threat is immediate or ongoing. And it's another tool that we have in our toolbox for law enforcement to notify the public. As we know, everyone from the age 3 on up usually has some type of wireless device with them nowadays.
Yeah,
and
true.
This is just another way for us to be able to let you know that there's a danger in that area and what we can do to help you get away from that danger, and also what the community can do to help us to catch that bad guy that's causing that danger.
Is there anything like publications or websites that give you information specifically for parents so that they can advise children the best course of action whenever they get one of these threats over the phone?
There are all kinds of different information out there that you can find. For us, MSP-wise, we do want parents to talk to their kids about what happens when these go off. A lot of times, the youngest of kids will normally be with mom and dad, so they'll kind of get it right away. A lot of times in schools, a lot of schools don't let their kids have the cell phone, so they're not really paying attention too much to them. But parents should talk about what they want them to do, you know, if there's a danger or if there's a flood or things like that, how to tornado warning, how to respond or where to go to find shelter or, you know, to contact mom and dad, things like that.
We're talking, by the way, with First Lieutenant Mike Shaw, who is with Michigan State Police, and we're talking about the new Public Threat Alert System Act that came out just very recently, last month, in our state of Michigan. Is that unique to Michigan, or are we kind of getting on the bandwagon that's already on the road?
There's some states that have it already, not all 50 and not quite maybe half yet. So we're kind of in the new threshold with it. It is something that, again, that we can use to notify the public with it. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to overuse it either. It kind of
Absolutely.
Comes like that car alarm that, you know, I'm a little older, so I remember when car alarms first came out, you know, everybody looked to see who was stealing the car. Nowadays, if a car alarm goes off, nobody gives it a second glance.
Right.
They assume that somebody can't find where they parked their car and they hit the panic alarm. So,
yeah, exactly.
This is something that local law enforcement can use. Through a request to the Michigan State Police to use on very specific persons. So when it does go off on your phone, you look at it and go, that's serious. I got to do something about it.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for being here with us to explain that. First Lieutenant Mike Shaw with Michigan State Police, a public office information officer there. Thank you for explaining that to us. And again, folks, pay attention when it goes off, and a good thing to talk to your kids about what's going on there as well. Thanks again, Mike, for being with us. Coming up next, answering your questions here on the Internet Advisor. We're answering questions starting right now and going on until 6:30. So you have a little more than an hour for you to get through with your questions at 800-859-0957. And as Cal pleaded when we started, please don't wait to the end. There's always kind of a roadblock at the end of the show as people are piling up with questions. And call early and call often, or as Cal says, like in Chicago, vote early, vote often.
And always start with an easy one. We always like the easy ones. We know we can answer those. Mostly can answer
those. And the best way to make an easy one is ask Gary first, because like G comes before. Well, I guess it doesn't. Never mind.
No.
So that number is 800-859-0957. But we have a question, guys, for you in studio here. General Mike Stone was our guest during the first hour. He was talking about the North American International Cyber Summit, which is coming on October the 17th to Cobo Hall. But with him was his daughter, Libby. And Libby,
Hi,
thank you very much for being here, Libby.
It's great to be back here at the beautiful WJR.
I like that.
Oh, my gosh. She's going to take your job, Foster.
I tell you. We got an ad already there. Now, you're attending high school in Grand Blanc, right?
Correct.
Okay. What year are you in there?
Well, I am in junior year right now.
Okay.
And you like Apple computers.
I understand you like apples.
Your iPad especially.
Yeah.
So you had a question for Cal.
Okay. What are the new Apple products?
New Apple products. Let me think. Okay, they have a new Apple Watch called the Apple Watch 2, and they're also having a new one come out later on this year that's going to be a Nike-type one that is more sports-oriented. So you can check that out. They have the new iPhone 7, which is water-resistant.
That means you can't, like, take it down to 50 feet, but if it drops in the toilet, you can still fish it out.
Fishing it out.
That was Gary Baker, folks, with his ringing endorsement for how he handles his phone. No, I'm just kidding.
Or plumbing.
But, yes, he is correct. If you should happen to drop it into a liquid, it will recover out of it fairly easily. So you got that. So you have the new iPhones that are out, along with the new iPhones, because they took the headphone jack out of the phone and gave you an adapter that you plug in so you can still use your old headphone jacks or whatever new ones you bought, like if you bought a fancy set of Beats headphones or something like that.
So, Libby, you can still listen to music on your headphones.
Yeah. I have tons of songs.
So you'll be rocking and bopping and continuing on.
Yeah.
But it's going to be without the headphone jack, though, right? On the that's
yeah.
The,
well, they don't have
the adapter. Step.
They don't still have the jack adapter. In the phone. They have an adapter where you plug it in.
So,
on here.
So what's this product called? What is it? I hear. I mean, what is it?
Cute. That was Ed Riddell.
It has to have a name.
No. The iPhone itself doesn't.
Right, yeah,
no
but longer. What are the wireless headphones?
Oh, you're talking
headphones.
About for the new. Oh, those
is
are
it
the,
like the iBuds?
Those are the EarPods.
Oh,
or so AirPods.
AirPods.
AirPods. Yeah, oh, well, that sounds much better than.
Which is a nice.
And Libby, what
wireless.
They are is they're actually, they look like little earbuds that are in your ear that have a little stem on them. And the stem has a microphone in it, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And so you can actually answer the phone with this in your ear.
While you're listening to your music.
It's Bluetooth.
Yeah. You're going to have to do some other color other than gray, or my wife's going to pull it. Right? Because she's always pulling gray hairs out of my
head. Exactly.
Wow.
That also was Ed Riddell.
And they're white, as I understand, right now. So those,
yes.
But there's some other things that have happened too, Cal, I wish you'd tell me about with the operating system.
Yes. So what type of iPhone do you have currently?
Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Check my bag.
For you folks that are watching the speaker, she's taking her phone out right now.
It's one of the smaller ones, so I think you probably...
I would say that's an iPhone 4 or an iPhone 5.
You don't have to take that out, honey.
Yeah. Honey, that's okay. Libby?
I'm going to guess and say it's a 5.
Yep.
Oh, that's the nice
good
one.
Job.
Yeah. That's
so
nice.
What you want to do
good
is you want to make
like
sure that you've got your operating system up to the date. So make sure you go and do a software update and update your operating system so you can take advantage of iOS 10.
Right.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Yes.
And then... And does that work on the iPad, too?
Yes,
because Libby has an iPad.
Depending on what on the age of her iPad.
That's right, because I can't do it. I have an iPad, too.
Yes.
Yep.
So if it's beyond the iPad, too,
also.
You can update as well.
iPad, too, also.
I also have an iPad, too.
Yes. So those are the things that are out there right now that you can take advantage of.
Wow, that's great. I can't wait to try them someday.
Yes,
yeah, and put that watch on the Christmas list, too. So
I will.
You're getting the stink eye from Dad because that's a big present. Who knows? It may be under the Christmas tree. Well, Libby, thank you very much for being here. You've asked a very good question because I was going to ask Cal about this as well. I know that one of the things you do is you hold off installing some of the operating systems.
Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. I am current to the operating system right now, 10.0.2. And
on your iPhone.
Yes, and having absolutely no issues at all. It's going just great. So I encourage people to go ahead and upgrade their systems to it.
So I just upgraded to 10.0.2 today, this morning.
Welcome aboard.
I wait. But my son, who's also here in studio, Justin, he actually upgraded before and is having a problem. Justin, you want to explain the problem?
Yeah, basically, my problem is I can't send text messages to non-iPhone users from my building at Michigan State, but I can send them from, like, the library, which is away from my building.
Ah, yeah, there is a fix for that, and I will look that up, and on our next segment, I'll try to be able to tell you exactly what that is. But, yeah, there is a fix. But you are at 10.0.2 on your phone.
Yes, I am.
Now, just speculating, does that have something to do with being connected Wi-Fi as well as cellular, or...
You know, I can't remember exactly what it is, but I know it has something to do with the Wi-Fi interface.
Yeah. So on the way in today, I was asking him, I said, what if you turn off Wi-Fi? And you said you did, right?
Yeah, I turned off Wi-Fi. I still had the same problem.
Okay.
So he's learning how to
diagnose it like his dad
figure
does?
Figure out how to diagnose
which
it.
Which iPhone are you using, Justin?
I have the iPhone 6.
Okay, I have a 6 Plus myself, so... The problem is that you can't send messages in certain atmospheres, in certain places.
Yeah, the only place I found is for my building at Michigan State. I can send it here, but I don't know what. Something is wrong with my building, I guess.
Hmm.
We had to pay extra to get that feature turned on so that he wasn't on his phone all the time texting everybody.
Do you use any other Apple products as well?
Yeah, I have a MacBook, and I also have an iPad.
What MacBook did you end up going with for college? Did you end up getting the Pro or the Air?
I got the Air.
Did you? 13er? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the 13.
Nice.
It's a lot lighter in my backpack.
It is.
So do you like it?
Of course I do.
Now, that is the MacBook
MacBook Air, the newest generation.
Oh, MacBook Air. Okay.
Yeah.
They come with the
nice. They're very nice. Okay, they actually have the same profile as my Dell XPS, and I have a MacBook Air at work. Cal probably has four in his suitcase.
I know he does. He put four.
He's like a salesman there.
He does. Here, yeah, he uses them to, you know, to hold up the car when he changes the tire.
You know, the beautiful thing about this whole thing is that when I first came to this show and you guys welcomed me on, Gary was what Gary was. And still is,
by the way.
Exactly. he definitely is. But I can see that as the next generation of Gary comes along, they've learned to improve like evolution should do, and that's a wonderful thing.
Hey, only two kids have gotten Macs.
Yes.
You only have two kids.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
have you upgraded your, Justin, have you upgraded to the
Sierra,
the new operating system? For the
MacBook Air?
No, I have not yet.
Okay, you might want to take advantage of it. It is a lot of really groovy stuff that you can do in that particular operating system that you'll really like. So take a look at it. But, of course, before you upgrade to it, make sure you back the machine up first.
Right. Very important.
And then upgrade it and see how it works out. But I think you'll find some of the features in that really cool.
All right.
All right, wait, we're going to take a quick break coming up. Thank you very much, Justin, for tuning in on that. And thank you, Libby, for asking that question. It was a very good question.
I'm having so much fun already.
There you go. All right. With just that little bit of advice. All right, folks. Once again, here's the number. It's 800-859-0957. And today, we have got, from this point on, a full hour to answer your questions. So whether it's a question about Windows 10 and how it's working with your computer, or it's a Mac question, we've got folks to help you.
This is the Internet Advisor. We're taking your calls at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. Now, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
If you've just tuned in to WJR and are waiting for coverage of the Michigan State University football game coming up, that will be starting at 6:30. And until then, we have a unique opportunity, that is, perhaps for you. You've had questions about your computer, and you've wondered, whom should I ask about that? Well, we've got some experts in studio who've been answering questions about computers for quite a while. And that's Mr. Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Cal Carson. And I'm just kind of along for the ride here. But those three people have been doing a lot to help people with whether it could be Windows-based systems or Mac-based systems. And we were first talking about some of the questions that Cal has been handling about Mac-based systems. But Ed, all week long, you take questions from our listeners as well who get in touch with us by email. And they can get in touch with us through our homepage at internetadvisor.net. There's a contact form there that people can use to get questions to you. And you've got an example there of one of the questions that came in.
Yeah. You know, Brad sent us an email this week, and he says he's a faithful listener. And, of course, they all say that when they need help. Right? No, I'm just kidding. So what he noticed, though, on his Dell 15R running Windows 10 is at the bottom of the screen, he sees black and white stripes near the very bottom when he first powered it on and in Windows. And he asked me if that's a driver issue. And I've seen this so many times, I don't have to ask him to send me a photo of what it looks like. And if it happens when you first power it up or when you go into the system BIOS or UEFI, as they call it, UEFI, you know, the BIOS, the setup, and in Windows, it usually means your LCD panel is bad or in the process of going bad. And unfortunately, you're going to have the LCD replaced. Mm-hmm. Now, and you used to be able to like press by the hinges and or use your fingers and tap where the LCD is going, because there doesn't appear to be any physical cracks.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me the exact model number of his Dell 15R, and I was able to find a YouTube video that describes exactly how to pull it apart.
I love it.
And send it to him, as well as Amazon. He could purchase it for a Prime member for $38.
Oh, wow.
Cheap.
A brand new LCD board?
Brand new, manufacturer provided.
I love it.
Or third party, you know, $38.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I can tell you from, I've done a couple of these, and that it's...
That's what I said. I said, even it's so simple, even Foster can do it.
Thank you. But the YouTube videos, it's a great way, folks, just in general, of finding a how-to for a lot of things.
I love taking things apart. But every once in a while, I get stuck, and it's like there's this hidden snap or screw that I haven't found. And that's a lot of times I use that.
Now, I just want to say there's a caveat on the YouTube videos, because I found this out as I use them for more than just computer stuff, but for everything in life, you know, raising children.
Counseling.
Yeah, exactly. But what I have found is that when you do look at YouTube videos, I do a couple of things. Number one, whenever possible, I always look at the manufacturer's YouTube video.
Yep.
Because those are usually the best authoritative sources. If I can't find that, whenever you use a YouTube video, look at a couple of them, because some people are, let's say, I don't know, a little sloppier at what they do than others, or they don't take the proper safety precautions. So look at a few of them, compare the techniques to make sure you understand what you're about to get into.
You mean licking your fingers to see if a 110 outlet isn't a good topic? Yeah, no.
It's fine
for anyone that is living in, you know, north of Oxford. But yeah.
That way you get better connection, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Sure. I'll tell you, you get better connection.
If you stand in a bucket of water, you'll be grounded.
Oh, dear.
Come on, guys. My dad worked as an electrician, and he would take and touch his forefinger to and his thumb on one hand.
Yeah.
And just to test if the 110 was active, right? Was hot or not. What he didn't do is he always put the other hand in his pocket, because he never wanted to touch it with two hands.
No. But, you do not want to complete that circuit.
Yep, that's hot. And you know, it would knock me down.
And we're kind of joshing and joking. We always want you to take safety precautions.
Please,
doing anything dealing with electricity or that sort of thing. Yeah. So make sure you unplug things and be very careful.
And the other thing I always pay attention to, and that's an excellent point, you know, how well is the video created? Sometimes people take their time. Like, I don't want to spend 7 minutes watching a guy remove 15 screws out of them.
No.
I'm sorry. So if they'll take the time to speed it up, then I'm like, this is a person that cares about what they're publishing.
Yep.
You know, some people do a good job. Some people, not so good.
Yeah. And so the good news there, folks, is, and for our listener, is that you can very easily and inexpensively get a new LCD panel, and then you can also get the instructions for putting it in.
And there's so much simpler to put in now, to exchange. The manufacturers do that for most laptops, because if they have to have it serviced, they want the person that's servicing it to be done as quickly as possible as well. So they make it as simple as possible.
And it's a Dell, wasn't it?
Yes.
And they tend to be very good in terms of having uniformity.
They do. Now, Toshiba, not so much.
Yeah.
I did a Toshiba last week, and I had to pretty much stand on my head to get some of those screws out.
All right. Okay, our phone number, again, 800.
That actually helps.
800-859-0957. Hello to John. John, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Hi, I just was bragging the other day of how great my Apple mini iPad works, and it acted up on me the other day.
It heard you.
It must have heard me. I'm having trouble. It won't go on the internet. You know how it always just picks it up and goes with it. And I went to my wireless or Wi-Fi button, and it says it's off, but it's grayed out where you can't turn it on. You can't do anything. It's not picking up the signal. And I know the signal's there because I checked my router with my phone and it picks it up right away.
Okay.
And I went to the Apple help thing and it said to go into settings and click on a reset and reset your network connections, and it would reset everything and everything should work. I did that and nothing happens. It still doesn't work.
Okay. After you did the reset of your network connections, did you power the device off?
Yeah, I did a shutdown on it.
Okay.
I thought, well, maybe that'd do it, but that didn't help either.
Okay, but you were, in fact, able to issue the command to do the reset. Now, once you'd done the reset, when you went back into settings and then went to Wi-Fi, were you able to pick out the Wi-Fi interface that you wanted to get to?
No, it didn't show it.
Is your Wi-Fi switch set to the green indication?
No, I ain't got nothing on. Normally, it, you know, it pulls it up and it pulls up my printer, Wi-Fi, and
if you take your finger,
that, but it didn't do nothing.
If you're in front of the pad right now and you're at the Wi-Fi setting, if you take your finger and stroke it where it says Wi-Fi to the right, does it turn green?
No, I haven't tried that.
Okay, try that. That'll turn the Wi-Fi interface back on, because when you did the reset, it turned the interface off.
Really? I didn't realize that. See, I was thinking maybe somehow it got stuck in airplane mode, which turns off Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and everything else. And
no.
that would be I didn't realize that after you performed the reset, that would explain those lengthy phone calls I've been having. Okay, got thanks, Kel.
Yeah, sometimes it will actually turn off the Wi-Fi on that particular thing. You have to turn it back on and select it, because you've reset the system, so it's going to want you to pick the Wi-Fi source over again.
Okay.
It cleared it all out.
Right, so, and it turned it off. So, yeah. I mean, that's interesting.
Oh, and it sounds like it cleared the cache completely then, too.
Well, it will clear the memory of what Wi-Fi is that you
have. That's what I meant, by cache, actually.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so how then can we help John? What would he do now then?
He needs to go into General, Settings, select Wi-Fi, and then make sure that on the Wi-Fi line, he swipes it to the right so he can see the green indicator, which would turn the Wi-Fi on. After he swipes it to the right, then in the category it says choose a network, all the Wi-Fi hotspots should start displaying.
Should start displaying at that time.
Start it up again, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, because I'm not seeing anything there now.
Okay.
But I didn't try swiping it. I'll try that.
All right, John. Thank you very much for the call.
You.
I hope that works. Please let us know. You can get back in touch with us, by the way, through the comment section, which is at the bottom of the show notes. And they'll be there after after I finished editing the show, which, by the way, the full podcast will be up on Sunday night. Okay, our number again, 800-859-0957. And good evening. Hello, this is Foster Brown, and you're listening to the Internet Advisor. You're on the air.
Hey, you. I just bought an HP all-in-one here 5-2 months ago, and it has 10 on it, obviously. What I noticed, the videos and stuff seem to be working good on it as far as clarity and all that. But then they went in and they wanted to do wanted to do an update. So they did an update. And after that, the video quality, no matter where, YouTube or, you know, music videos, the quality of the video is really, you know, is bad. Sometimes it's okay, but majority of the time it's pretty bad. Now, I had an issue with AOL.
Oh, Jim, hang on a second. I'm hearing the break music here in the middle. We're going to come back and answer your question in just a minute, okay?
So hang on.
Yeah, hang on, please. And we'll be back on the other side of that to answer your question. And by the way, we're here for another 45 minutes. If you've got a question, 800-859-0957 is the number, and we'll get back to you and to Jim and get some answers for you. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor, a special edition, by the way, of our program. We're on for a little longer than we normally are on during this football season. Kind of can never tell exactly when we're going to be on, but we're delighted to be with you this afternoon and evening.
And station management gave us an extra half hour. That's wonderful.
Thank you very much to them, and we're going to be on
Mike
until...
Mike Parson,
Thank you, Mike, our
yes,
producer.
It's football season. It's overtime for Internet Advisors.
Yeah, that's right.
It's overtime, of course.
Well, we're going to be here until 6:30, so we've got more calls coming in, and that's great. We'll get to you as soon as we can. The number again, 800-859-0957. Now, Ed, we were talking with Jim from Lapeer, and Jim, let's kind of in a thumbnail, tell us what your problem was again.
Just bought an HP all-in-one.
Okay.
They've had it for a few months. They wanted to do an upgrade on it. They did an upgrade on it. And after they did that, I noticed the videos that I would download or look at, the quality of the video, more than not, was very poor. I had an issue with AOL and contacted them and was talking to them about it, and she had mentioned that this was an issue with 10.
What, the video playback or slow? So you were already at Windows 10?
No, Windows 10, yes. No, the quality of the video
is
the
bad.
The clarity, and she had said that that this has been an issue with 10. So... And she was from the Philippines, so, you know, I'm obviously.
Hopefully you didn't pay or anything. So
No, you called them.
Yeah. So
yes.
A couple things I can think of is, well, I can only think of four things. First, I would try to go to your manufacturer's website, the HP website, and then re-download their video drivers for that exact model of your HP All-in-One for Windows 10. It's possible that Microsoft may have provided what they thought was an updated driver, video driver. Okay?
Right.
So that's the first thing. Check the manufacturer's website site for up-to-date Windows 10 drivers.
Video.
Yep.
Okay.
The other thing is Microsoft has, because you probably downloaded this update, you might want to go to the Adobe website and download a current version of Flash and maybe Java as well, because you've updated your system. Now, what web browser are you using when you're scanning the internet?
Well, I just switched over to Chrome. I was using Internet Explorer.
You were using
it? Too. She said the Explorer was having problems with that, and then she suggested to go to Chrome.
Well, it's just a matter of trying one. They both should work equally as well. I would think Chrome would work better, but it's nice to try both and see if you're experiencing the same issue. But I would still go to Adobe and Java, java.com, and then download updated Flash and Java code. And the third thing I could think of is, because you just recently installed an update, it's possible that now you're metering out that same update to all your neighbors and friends, slowing down your internet connection, and that's what's causing the stuttering, is you're trying to watch a video. Meanwhile, your computer is uploading megabytes worth of updates to all your neighbors and friends on Comcast or WoW or Yahoo or whoever provides your internet.
Right. Is there a way to turn it off? Ed?
And I don't have my Windows 10 in here. So
I have a broadband. That's my connection is broadband.
Right.
So, and I do not have a, yes, I do not have
a shared connection.
Only when my kids come home, they hook it up, and I'm a loss for words right now for it.
It slows down when they're on it?
No. I'm just saying, when they come home, they hook up. Oh, my gosh, this
to
is
the
so
Wi-Fi?
Simple, and I can't remember. No, the
router.
So they can get on with their computers, their laptops and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
Wi-Fi. Yes,
yeah, the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, but this is peculiar to your computer after the update. So one of the things Microsoft did is they took a page out of Napster and sharing of files. So after security updates are pushed to your computer, by default, Windows 10 will share those security updates with all your neighbors and friends on the same neighborhood that, you know, so that not everyone
has to
download.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your computer is not only downloading videos, but it's also uploading to all of its neighbors and friends.
And I think I recently saw that my wife has a Windows 10 computer.
Yes.
A laptop. And I recently went in and looked for that. And I believe it's in the security settings for updates.
Yes, it is.
So you'll find it in there. You can turn it off, which, you know, essentially says, is Ed, I'm not going to share my feed with the rest of the neighborhood. You know, they can get their...
Okay, because I only got like two friends in the neighborhood.
Well, we don't want Microsoft or just
like
your proximity.
Yeah. All right, Jim, I'm going to move on because we got a bunch of other people have been calling in
now. Sounds good.
But try
And yes, I will try that. And thank you for taking my call. And
you're welcome.
Enjoy the rest of the evening.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's see. I think we have Robert and Warren. Robert, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
I have a Dell laptop, an E6500, and it's got a Windows 7 Professional on it.
Okay.
And it will not update anymore. It just, when I go to update and it search for updates, it'll sit there for hour after hour after hour and never connect.
I thought I saw recently, Ed, that's the support for Windows 7 is ending. Did I see that correctly, guys?
No, it's not ending. It's ending for call support, free call support.
Okay.
Because Microsoft only goes back one version of Windows. Now that Windows 10's out, if you want free call support from Microsoft, you get it for Windows 8 and Windows 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they're still providing the security updates. And what I think I put this, I'm not sure if it's on our website or not, what can cause Windows 7 to stop updating. Well, you could have a corrupt download. You could have antivirus software can be impacting it, of course. Viruses could be impacting it. Microsoft has a Microsoft Mr. Fix-It, Fix-It tool for Windows 7. So what I'm trying to do it now, but if you go into Bing.com, you hit, if you're having problems with Microsoft product, I typically use Bing when I want to find Microsoft articles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'll type in Mr. Fix-It or Fix-It Windows Update. And usually that'll take me to Microsoft's Mr. Fix-It. I can't remember if it's Mr. Fix-It. And they provide a utility that you download that will probably do about 10 things that are the most 10 common reasons why your computer will not update anymore. That's the first thing I would try.
I think I tried that already. I've spent quite a few hours already on this.
Okay. Yeah.
And so you've searched Microsoft for it?
I've downloaded. There are two files that you can download that are supposed to fix this. And I downloaded them and loaded them, and that didn't work. And I don't think I tried the Mr. Fix-It, though. I'm writing that down. I'm going to.
The nice thing about the Mr. Fix-It is that it actually goes in and does the work for you. You don't have to run through a recipe, which is what I loved about it.
Yeah, and I was right. It is called Mr. Fix-It. And the other thing, Cal, you found an article, but I'm not the quickest reader in the world. But I do know that it's talking about using msconfig to bring up Windows in a marginal or.
Yeah. Yeah, do a quick search out on answers.microsoft.com for Windows 7 won't update, and they have a procedure that you can follow that can fix the situation. At least it did for a couple of people.
Okay, so that was answers.microsoft.com.
Yep, and then also look for the Mr. Fix-It. It's an automatic utility you download that might take care of this issue. Or you can also write us on in our comments section,
yep,
and we'll follow up with you.
Exactly. What you do then is, Bob, is to go to the bottom of the page of our, when I post it, our show notes, and there's a comment section. Put your concern in there and send that off to us, and we will get to that as quickly as we can during the week. Thank you so much for calling. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back after the top, we've got some time, much more time, a half an hour left. Mark, George, and Pam, we're ready to talk to you. And if you have a question for us, 800-859-0957. We're here till 6:30.